Now, the whole purpose of this is that Tyrlone believes, after years of encouraging expansion, that if we all farmed like the pools, that Ireland will keep the derogation. So, is keeping up with the pools a remedy now, or is it too little too late to show how, in theory, one river catchment could be cleaned up? 51551 for your thoughts. Outgoing Tyrlone Chief Executive Jim Bergen, who will retire this summer, believes that it is a remedy. I talked to him on Monday, which was before Minister McConnell Logan announced that he would not be funding an exit scheme for dairy farmers, and also before the Danish government made its decision not to seek a renewal of its derogation.
We want this to be a collective exemplar project and a template for what can be implemented across the country. And I should say, other co-ops are doing, you know, specific projects at the moment, and we have agreement within in Dairy Industry Ireland that each co-op now will take the worst river in its area and will address that river. So that's our hope. And our belief is that if we received the requisite funding from government at the moment, that we would actually solve the nitrates issue.
But how much skin are you putting in this game with your 3 billion of turnover in 2022 and your 72 million euro of profits? It shouldn't all just fall to government.
Oh, absolutely. And we have already approved an additional 5 advisors for the Slaney River itself. And, you know, if we need to do more in terms of knowledge transfer and support across the other big rivers, we will do that.
Why go out and duplicate what already exists in the form of Chagas's ASAP advisors and create a parallel system? I mean, is that not wasteful? Why not just give that money to Chagas to fund more ASAP advisors on farms?
Yeah, so it's really important to emphasise that this is building on the ASAP model. Absolutely. And, you know, the term I used earlier was it has to be farmer centric. Our belief is with 18 months left and having heard what the commissioner said when he came over to Ireland, we just have to turn up the gas on this and bring a level of urgency that we believe is not there.
But why not fund ASAP directly? I mean, why create this kind of messy duplicate parallel system?
I think you're representing it incorrectly when you say a messy duplicate system. So we're building on the ASAP program that we have. We already have a number of ASAP advisors in that program. Between LawPro, Chagas and ourselves, we have done a root cause analysis on the river. We have identified the troubled sub-catchments. And this wasn't work that was being done within ASAP. ASAP was advisory, whereas we are doing, a greater root cause analysis and scientific analysis. But the funding that we are looking for, and I should say, the co-ops are funding their own advisors to work with the dairy farmers. And the funding that we're requesting from government, which is 10 million a year over 4 years, is to address and support the grain farmers and the beef farmers through Chagas. So we're not looking for anything more for ourselves here, but it is absolutely collaborative with Chagas and LawPro.
You're calling this an exemplar project. I wonder, might it also be fair, though, to call it tokenistic to just concentrate on the Slaney? The EPA identifies many more catchments, of the total of 46 catchments, yeah, that are in trouble. The Shure, the Nore, the Barrow, the Tulka, the Liffey, the Boyne, the Bandon, the Lee, the Blackwater. I mean, and just sure, in your area of, yeah, operations, the Shure, the Nore, the Barrow.
Yeah.
Why concentrate on just the Slaney?
Because we need bigger proof points. You know, and my concern is that there are small numbers of resources, small amounts of money spread over a very, very large community of farmers. There are certain things being said also, which I think science will disprove. So as I said to you earlier, Chagas science now specifies that farmers can farm at 220 and deliver good water quality. That's something we can prove on the Slaney River.
But we know that what the Commission wants to see is an improvement in all of our catchments, not a proof of concept. I mean, you yourself have called for a Marshall Plan, yeah, not proof that the idea works. And we've only got a year and a half in which to do that.
Sure. One of the other elements of the project is knowledge transfer. So if this is an exemplar project, we can prove after 3 months, after 6 months, or I should say we can transfer after 3 months or 6 months the knowledge and the scientific approach to all the other rivers. So that gets away from the narrowness.
Key to that, though, is going to be persuading individual farmers to make an investment on their farm. Why would I do that now, not knowing whether the derogation is still going to be there in a year and a half's time? I could be throwing good money after bad.
Chagas science shows that if our farmers have their soils in the optimal condition, if they have adequate slurry storage to give them the flexibility to spread at optimal times during the year, that they will actually reduce their nitrogen load on their farms. They will reduce the chemical nitrogen that they use, and they will have a better economic performance. That's the first reason. So it makes good business and environmental sense. And the second point is that Minister Ryan has a biomethane plan to produce 5.7 terawatt hours of energy, and the main inputs to anaerobic digestion are slurry and grass. So our farmers, again, will need very, very significant slurry storage capacity to be able to supply anaerobic digesters all through the year. So if the government is going to come over the next 2 years with a huge investment in slurry storage on farms, they need to come now, solve the derogation, and build the infrastructure for the biomethane plan.
Is the elephant in the room here, though, what you said very recently about it being a mistake to take even one cow out of the system in response to the place that we find ourselves now? Of course you would say that, wouldn't you? Because you need the throughput of milk through your factories to keep them operating profitably. Farmers have found they don't need to have as big a herd as they have expanded to in order to be profitable. Many of them are saying that they could pull back quite happily and still be profitable.
It is too narrow an argument at the moment to say that we should have a smaller herd in Ireland, when science shows that we can have the dairy herd of the scale that we have, and we can have clean water as well.
Science has shown, but practice hasn't shown. And what practice is showing is the rivers don't need a herd this size. The farmers are saying they don't need a herd this size. You're the ones who need the herd to stay this size.
Yeah, but when you say the farmers, I'm not so sure which farmers you're referring to, because, for example, 50% of our farmers have an average herd of 60 cows. If the derogation happens, they will have to reduce from 60 cows down to 49 cows. 49 cows is just simply not viable. And the other point is the role that the dairy industry plays in Ireland. So the income of a dairy farmer in 2021 was about €1,200 per hectare. The income of a grain farmer was €444 per hectare, and the income of a cattle rearer was €130 per hectare. So from an economic perspective, and in particular the economic impact on rural Ireland, we have to retain our dairy industry and ensure that dairy can deliver and will deliver.
There's no doubt that there has been a huge amount of wealth generated in rural Ireland, so many jobs as a consequence of the expansion of the dairy sector. But would you be prepared to concede that one of the aspects of that expansion has been environmental damage?
Yes, I would. So I accept that there is a trend, and when somebody makes statements about the environmental deterioration, which is in this case in relation to water, it needs to be scientifically proven before those broad statements can be made. But
there's no point in denying it, really.
No, I'm not, and I'm not. I'm just saying that people need to be specific when they're making that statement. But you know, if I am guilty as one of the captains of industry of growing the number one domestic industry in Ireland, which has a disproportionate positive effect on rural Ireland, I'm guilty as charged.
Are you worried that in creating that wealth, which was welcome when you consider where we were 7 or 8 years ago, there's no doubt that that extra wealth is absolutely welcome, but that the industry is now at a point where it's running the risk of losing its social licence because of the impact on water quality?
Yeah, but I think the issue of water quality is real at the moment and very tangible, and it's the number one priority, I think, for farmers and for the environmental agenda. So there's no doubt about that. I think that the focus singularly on one item, I think, is a luxury that we can't afford. because there is the economic impact here. There is the social fabric of rural Ireland, which has deteriorated massively over time. And, you know, when we say, for example, that there has been huge wealth created, our farmers are on their knees today in terms of the impact that climate already has had on them, and they need huge support as well. So there is a balanced argument here. And sorry, I omitted the production of food. We have 1 billion people in the world who are starving today.
Developing countries would say that the last thing that they need to feed those 1 billion hungry people is wealthy countries like Ireland dumping taxpayer-supported produce onto their markets.
Well, my belief in that is that where people are hungry, Ireland is one of the most competitive countries in the world in terms of producing dairy products. I regularly say that dairy products from Ireland are the iPhone of the dairy industry. So we are producing really competitive dairy products and supplying those onto the world markets.
We're producing a luxury product for a luxury end of the market in the main, though.
Well, we're producing powders for Africa, and we sell about 70,000 tonnes of powders into Africa, and they are not a luxury product. They're a basic human need.
If we don't manage to make the case to the Commission that we can improve water quality, if the derogation goes, is there a plan B?
Well, I would prefer to say that when we deliver in a transparent and scientific manner, the successful case to the EU to retain the derogation for Ireland, any plans that we're making at the moment won't be required.
But people might take some satisfaction from knowing that there are other contingencies that are being worked out in case it doesn't work.
Yeah. So, you know, within an organisation, our revenues are $2.5 billion in 2023. So we have to have risk management plans and scenario planning for many situations today, including climate impact and inflation, for example, war, supplies, and also then loss of derogation. So we do all that planning at a particular level. But our whole focus at the moment is to retain the derogation.
Jim Bergen, a happy retirement and every continued success. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Philip.
Email countrywide@rte.ie.